Now, we have a couple of minutes, but everybody quieted down, so we'll go ahead and get started. I hate to interrupt good fellowshipping, which we always seem to do. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to come together as a family and to worship you and to learn more about your word. And just thankful, Father, for this time that we have during this hour to dive deeper into Jude and to study the message that he has to bring to us regarding false teachers. And pray, Father, that we can constantly be on the lookout and stop them. Pray, Father, that you'll be with the members that might be sick today, and just pray, Lord, that they'll get better soon. Forgive us our many sins, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we are continuing our study in Jude. And any questions on what we have looked at so far? Okay, yes. Oh, no. We are, but if you have something to say, you can.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on, see if I can find it. I don't know. I'll find it. Nine, okay. The gospel according to
what?
The gospel according to Glenn on Jude 9.
Yeah. It says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce the blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke him. I think we've always tried to put that with at the time that Moses died. Contending for his body. Think about this. Now, Moses, go back, way back, and look at the story of Moses. Moses was in the wilderness. God chose him, sent him to Egypt. He brings the children out. He's God's man.
Yes, and as I stated last week, there is nothing in the scriptures that refer to this as far as Michael the archangel fighting over the body of Moses, okay? Now, on a second thought, going along with what Glenn is saying, there is the thought that we have guardian angels that's looking over us. There's nothing, again, in scriptures that state that, but again, as Glenn was saying, it could be that at that time frame where Moses stumbled and got mad at the Israelites and hit the rock without saying that God did this, you know, God's bringing you the water, and he hit the rock, that it could be that, you know, there was that fight there between good and evil, between God and Satan, and that the archangel watching over Moses came in and fought for him, for his body. And again, we don't know. That's just another hypothesis. That's a good one, Glenn. I thank you for sharing that with us.
There's one more.
Oh, one other thought. Okay, I'll sit back down. Okay.
That's, to me, that's what got the devil thrown out of heaven. He tried to make himself equal with God. And now he's saying, here's Moses trying to make himself equal with God.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
Me, so he's mine.
Okay. Kathy? Yes. Right, as I'm saying, yeah.
Zechariah chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan.
Right, Zechariah 3:1. Okay, Jack? Yes. Very true. Okay. Any other comments? All right. Well, thank you, because that leads us right into where we left off last week, in verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, these are hidden reefs at your love feast. Okay, and again, he's going to give us, I think, four examples here of things in the natural world, and he's going to use those as an example. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, okay? I don't know if any of you have ever done much boating out in the Gulf or in the Pacific or Atlantic or anything, or even in just a lake or river. But you have to watch out for rocks in this area, you know, that are hidden that you can't see. In the South, we don't really have that because it's all sand. The only reefs are out in the deep ocean that man has made for fish. But you have to watch out for that. You have to watch out. That's the reason they made lighthouses, was to let people know when they looked at their maps, you know, okay, there's that lighthouse, and we know by looking at our map, we know where the dangers are at, okay? And that's what he's referring them to as hidden reefs, okay? Something that you don't know, that creep in and can destroy you. He goes on, waterless clouds swept away by winds. And, you know, and it's great to be able to look up. This morning we were talking about it, the sun was out and white clouds, you know. They're good to look at and to make animals out of them, or, you know, whatever you could find, you know, in the clouds. But the purpose of a cloud is to bring rain, okay? So I hate to use the term that the cloud is useless without water, without the rain, but that's what he's referring to here, waterless clouds that are just being swept around by the winds. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, they're uprooted. And we see several scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus talks about, you know, the fruitless trees. He always refers that to Christians with us being fruitless. You're good for nothing, to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Again, this is just an example that he's using, that Jude is using, talking about these false teachers. They're like fruitless trees. Wild waves of the sea, verse 13, casting up the foam of their own shame. I don't know if you've ever been out on the beach and where the waves come in, okay, to where they foam up really bad. And we like to, as kids, running down the beach and just kicking up the foam, you know, the waves created. Picking it up, you know, maybe putting it on your face like a beard or something. But it's useless for anything, okay? And then wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. A wandering star, I take that as being a shooting star, okay? It's good to see. We go out and watch them whenever we can to see the asteroid showers whenever we have a clear sky. And, you know, we love laying out there and freezing to death and watching them, you know. But, you know, it's reserved for darkness. What happens to a shooting star when it hits our atmosphere? It dissolves, okay? And so that's what he is saying here with these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 examples, that, you know, the false teachers of that time and of today are worthless. And he gives these 5 examples as, you know, to what they are like, something that we can reference and understand that they're useless like these. Verses 14 and 15. I have brought this up before, and I'll bring it up now because of this. There were a lot of other books, letters, however you want to refer to them, that was written during biblical times that are not included in the Bible. I actually bought a book, a big thick book, that has all of those other writings in there. One of them is by Thomas, a book that Thomas was supposed to have written. We're going to see here in verse 14, Enoch was a book that was written. And the way it is, they had all these writings, and the Catholic Church went through them and decided on the text, their content, what was written in them, to whether or not they deemed it necessary or adding anything to the scriptures. And if so, then they were included. But if they did not add anything, if they did not enhance the scriptures, if they were just kind of vague and whatever, short, then they were not included in what they call the canon. Okay, they were not included in the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right? In the way I have always looked at it was, if it was inspired, if it needed to be in the Bible, God would have made sure that, just here, the Book of Enoch, Book of Thomas, or whatever, was included in the Bible. Okay? Does that make sense? So, even though there are other writings during this time frame that were not included in the Bible, they're still out there, okay? And like I said, I bought a big book that has them in it.
Another interesting point about that is that the Vaticanus was the Catholic version of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hidden from people, for hundreds of years.
Yes. Right. Right. And I don't remember what the exact year was when that happened, when they gathered up all the priests and whoever and went over all of the books and decided what it was. There is a certain year, and I don't remember what it was that they did that. Okay. So when we look here at verse 14, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds and ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." End of quotation. So that whole section there from behold down to the end was coming from, is quoted from, this writings of Enoch, okay? So Jude has referred back or referred to the Old Testament so far. He has also referred to 2 Peter. Now Jude refers to Enoch, which is the seventh generation from Adam. Enoch was the father of Methuselah, okay? Enoch did not die, but was taken up by God in Genesis 5:24, and it's also mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, okay? So Enoch is a figure in the Bible, a well-known figure, being the father of Adam, the seventh generation from Adam, the father of Methuselah, and that he was so faithful that God did not want him to taste death, but instead took him up into heaven without dying. Okay? But again, he's talking, this study or this quote from Enoch, whatever that was, they claim that it was another book that was written, a letter, whatever you want to refer to it as, that did not make it into the Old Testament. Okay? Any comments on 14 or 15? All right, verse 16. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Okay, again, he's talking about the false teachers. He's letting us know what type of person they are, who they are. They're grumblers, okay? They're going to complain about things going on in the church. What is a malcontent?
Displeased
with about anything, complaining about everything, following their own sinful desires, okay? They're not following the scriptures. They're not following God's word. They're following their own thoughts, their own desires, their own beliefs, okay? And pushing that onto the Christian body as being scripture. And again, and I'll bring this up next hour, but that's the reason I always say, go to the scriptures. That's the reason what Jack was saying, that the Catholic Church kept the Bible out of their parishioners' hands because they didn't want them to read the truth. Okay, and it wasn't until recently, within, 30 years or so, that the Bible was able to get into their hands, and the Catholic Church was freaking out about it, and there was a lot of people who left the Catholic Church because they had the Bible in their hand, they read it, and they realized, what they've been teaching us, what these priests have been preaching is not the truth. It's not what the scriptures say, okay? Right. Okay. And that's what Jude is talking about here. They are loud mouth boasters. Okay. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Okay. And that's what they are. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. Reminds me, several years ago, back in the 90s, when we were at a congregation, there was a man who had come from Canada, and was everybody's friend. He did everything. He was talking about everybody, making friends with everybody. After church, he took everybody to Godfather's pizza and bought pizza for everybody, and he was just loved by everybody. Okay. Well, then he started this thing with stock market and getting people to buy into it. What was it called? Something with the stock market. No, it wasn't. It was the difference that they would go up or down.
Pyramid?
Huh?
Pyramid?
No, it was a pyramid. It was you're betting, or I guess it would be betting on the difference that it would go up, and he had the members of the church all into this. He knew what he was doing. He had all these references, and he'd been doing it for years and making all this money and everything else. And so he ended up getting several of the of the members to give him money to be able to do this, and he disappeared. And they filed charges against him, trying to find out he had been doing this in other areas and all that. And I don't know if they ever caught him and put him in prison, but, you know, it's the same type of thing. Coming in, you know, grumbling and malcontents, you know, loudmouth boasters and showing favoritism, you know, to gain an advantage. And that's exactly what he did. Margins, I think it was called. Betting on the margins that it would go up. You know, so you've got to be careful. Just because somebody comes in and says, oh, I'm a Christian, doesn't mean that they are pushing, you know, doing what they are supposed to be doing as a Christian. You know, they're living a Christian life. That's the reason we've got to get into the scriptures and read the scriptures and know the scriptures. Show, study to show yourself approved unto God. Okay?
Unfortunately, that's what's happening in the Church of Christ today, is that people walk in, they stay there long enough, and they just consider a member. And I don't want to give any examples, but I've seen it myself.
Yes. Back home in Pensacola, Gateway was the largest congregation in Pensacola. We had something like 12 congregations, and Gateway, I can't remember how many churches had come together to form this huge congregation of Gateway. And I used to go there as a teenager because there was a lot of teens there and everything, doing things with them. And not too long ago, I don't remember exactly when, somebody had come in, false teachers, and, you know, doing this, whatever, and ended up splitting the whole congregation. You know, a monster, and they were running 400 or 500 people. I don't know exactly what they had gotten up to, but it split the congregation, and somebody told me, I think it was last year, that they ended up selling the congregation, selling the building, and they bulldozed it because the Pensacola Christian School bought the property and bulldozed it and are going to be putting up other buildings, you know, for their campus. But that's what the devil wants. That's how the devil works. You know, he wants to see churches split. He wants to see churches fail. He wants to see churches go away because that's just more souls for him. Right.
An example. And once that business all dries up, they just move on to another church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all kind of things, you know, to where people take advantage of Christians, take advantage of the goodness of Christians. And, you know, we've got to be careful. We've got to be on guard. And I don't know, I didn't look it up, but, you know, you see it throughout the New Testament several times by several writers, talking about false teachers, to be wary of them, to be on the look for them, you know, watch out, know the truth, and don't let the false teach truth come in. You know, that's something that we as a body of Christ have got to do. Oh, but you know, that sounds so good. You know, we need change. We need to do something different. This will bring people in. You know, well, let's do that. You know, we need to be with the times. You know, we can't be in the dark ages all the time. We need to, you know, update what we do as a church and reach more people. You know, we can reach more people with, you know, doing this than we are, you know, sticking our. That's how the devil works. Yes, because that Church of Christ has a bad. Yeah, you know, right. Well, it hurts somebody's feelings, but you know, it's got a lot of bad connotations with it and all this, and so we need to change the name to something more common. Something what you know what we want to do, and you know, and it's just simple things like that, you know. And again, it's like I always refer to as the frog in the cold water. You know, you turn the heat on, he's just going to sit there, and you'll end up with frog legs for dinner, because he's not going to jump out, because you slowly heat the water up. Whereas if you throw him into the hot water, he's going to jump out. You know, and that's how the devil works. That's how these false teachers work, is just slowly, just little things, you know, get to know the congregation, become friends with everybody, and then just slowly turn the heat up, and we'll change this, we'll change that, we'll do this, and then, you know, the church is closing its doors. So again, what Jude is teaching here is relevant to us today. And we've got to pay attention, and we've got to constantly be on guard and watch out for it. 17 through 19. But you must remember. Okay. Let me stop there. I was going to do the outline first again, just to remind us of what we're talking about, but we got started into something else. We're verse 17 through 23, we're going to be talking about how to avoid this danger. And then the last two verses deal with the closing. So how to deal with the danger. Verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Okay? So, again, this isn't something new that Jude is coming up with. This has been taught for years. All right? Even Jesus, you know, talked about it. But the apostle said, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. And again, that's what we see with false teachers, is that they've got this idea, you know, on how to make things better, how we can bring more people in, how we can, you know, fill the pews, fill the chairs. So let's change this. Let's change that. And something small, or let's add, okay, something small, but then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And again,
the Bible's been good for over 2,000 years, and it's not growing.
Right. But these type of people, these false teachers, will cause divisions. They are worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Why are they devoid of the Spirit? They're not teaching the truth, okay? All right, you know, the Spirit's not going to be with you if you're teaching the truth. You're not listening to the Spirit that's inside of you. Why hang around, okay? You've turned your back on God. They do it for their own gain. Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing about it is, again, we don't know when that last day is, when that last hour is. And this was written, we'll just say, over 2,000 years ago. And Jude is saying, you know, or the apostles were saying, you know, in the last times, that's what's going to happen. And they were seeing it then, and it's been throughout the ages, okay? You know, these are the last times, if you will, compared to, you know, the Old Testament times. Again, we don't know when, people try to say, well, it's going to end this day, or this is what's happening. You know, all these things are showing up, all the things that's happening in the world today are all pointing to the ends of time. Again, we don't know. We can't say that because Only God knows when that's going to happen.
Well, that's kind of what's wrong with a lot of the interpretations of Revelation. What you were just saying, they look to it for at some point, and something else happening, and something else happening after that.
But right.
It's going to end.
Yes. Okay. We might actually finish this chapter today. Any other comments on that? All right, verses 20 through 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Okay, I'm going to stop there because those last few verses deal with, well, with the ending, but 23. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Again, okay, so he's winding down this book, okay, his writings. He's closing everything up, okay? So he's building us up, you know. But you, the beloved, build yourselves up with the Holy Spirit by faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, you know, we're staying with God, so we still have the Holy Spirit with us. Okay, the Holy Spirit is still a part of our life. Okay. Keep yourself in the love of God. Continually love God. Love others. And we've been talking about this a lot in our Wednesday night class. Okay. A very great class, by the way. It's so good, we're going to do it again. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. That's what we're all doing, isn't it? We're all waiting for that day, for that hour, that minute, when this all ends. When the Lord will come back with his angels, the trumpets will sound, and we will ascend into heaven. We're all waiting for that day. We know it's going to happen. We don't know when. Okay, contrary to all those people out there that think they know when, we don't know when. It might happen in our lifetime, it might not. But it is going to happen, all right? And we need to wait for it with expectations. Jack? Yes, it is. You know, it says, verse 22, you know, to have mercy on those who are in doubt and to have mercy with fear. Okay? So we need to have mercy with those who don't believe, who doubt. You know, we can't be stubborn. We can't be hard-nosed, you know, to people who don't believe, because you're not going to reach them, you know, if you're that way. You've got to show loving and mercy on others. So hopefully that you can save them. You know, in verse, like you said, verse 23, saving others by snatching them out of the fire, which means hell. Okay? You know, we need to call it what it is. You know, whenever we can save somebody, you know, we're snatching them from the devil. We're snatching them from hell. We're snatching them from the fire, eternal fire. And we need to remember that. Okay? Any other questions or comments on those three verses? Or four verses? All right, here it is. The end of Jude. the doxology, his ending, verses 24 through 26. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. What a wonderful ending. Okay.
Why does your thing say 2:26? There's only 25 verses.
I can't count.
Did you type that? Or?
No, I typed them. Oh. I just typed it wrong.
No, 5 and 6 are right next to each other.
Yeah.
I know. I just didn't know if there was something I was missing, like there's a, hey, is there a verse I don't know about or something?
I used my thumb. It was pointed out to me a couple of weeks ago, depending on your Bible, it took one verse and split it in two, and that's how I had it with the ESV, but the other Bibles, the King James Version, I only had it as one, so that might have been what I had originally. I'd have to look back at the King James Version, because I went back and changed everything to the English Standard.
There is only 25.
Okay, so, yeah, I just fat-thumbed it. Sorry. I'd go back here and change it, but I can't. Yes?
I don't know if anyone's noticed, but everyone should go read 2 Peter, because 2 Peter is almost identical to the book of Jude. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Peter was writing mainly to Gentiles, so some of his things don't include some of these traditions and things that the Jews would know about that they don't. And Jude was writing to mainly Jewish Christians, so they would understand more things, like he gives more detail about, you know, the contending over the body of Moses. Those are old traditions from the Jews that Gentiles wouldn't know anything about, so he leaves out that detail but talks about the angels.
Mm-hmm.
So of the 25 verses in Jude, 15 of them are in 2 Peter. And if not exact, they're paraphrased, they're very close. You can just read 2 Peter and read right along with the book of Jude.
Right.
Especially chapter 2 and 3. They're both really short books, you know. 2 Peter is very short. But it's interesting to see how in 2 Peter, he talks about false prophets a lot, but he always talks about them in the future tense, coming into the church. Jude talks about them in the present tense. So that's why some believe that maybe Jude was reading his, and he says, remember, and he's saying, hey, I got a hold of Peter's letter, but now I'm going to, say it in my words and
right.
Explain more to you, the Jews or whatever. Some say that that Peter got a hold of Jude's book and was like, hey, this is good stuff, but you know, these guys don't understand everything, so I want to paraphrase
right.
them. But regardless, it's inspired. But it's just interesting to read the two. As I've been going through this book, I've been just flopping back and forth and reading right through it. You can almost just read the book. It's almost
that's some of the comments that you see in the commentaries, and again, as I've stated before, they didn't date them, you know, stamp them. Oh, this was written in this day, this is, you know, this year, whatever. So it's always speculation when you look in your Bible or commentary and it states it was written in, you know, 69 AD or whatever.
They'll give a range
sometimes, yeah. And again, it's all speculation. They have no clue when any of the books were written because none of them were stamped. Stated, well, it's today's date and I'm going to do it. Compared to any book today that's written, you open up to the first page and it'll tell you, when it was, copyrighted, when it was written. but so we don't know. It's all speculation. Second Peter come first, Jude come first, we don't know. But like he said, they are very close, talking about the same thing, which, you know, what do they say about people copying you is flattery, you know. So here, you know, whoever copied who, is flattery about what they read. But they saw that it was so important that it needed to be rewritten. And it could be that, and we'll just say that 2 Peter was written first, Jude thought that that was so important that the people here, where he was at, who didn't maybe get 2 Peter, we call it 2 Peter, but, you know, did not get that writing. So he's extrapolating that information and giving it to the people where he's at because it was so important that they needed to know about it. Okay? You know, so again, it's all speculation. We don't know. Okay? Anybody says, well, it's this. No, they're wrong because we don't know. Yeah, before time existed, you know, before the creation, now and forever. You know, he has dominion. He has, he's majestic. He has the authority. Okay, and also see what it says there in verse 25. You know, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the reason I stated, I think it was last week, that a lot of times I think in the Old Testament when it talks about the Lord, it's talking about Jesus, not necessarily God. Because a lot of times we see Jesus being as Lord. Okay? So, a lot of times I think we don't think about that because Jesus was born here. You know, beginning of AD, you know. That's when Jesus was born. That's when Jesus started existing. But no, he was, as like I said, you know, in John 1, he was before time. And so he didn't just sit up there in heaven and not do anything during the Old Testament time period, you know, before he came to earth. He was involved in everything. And I think that as we see here, the Lord in the Old Testament was Jesus. Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments about Jude, the book of Jude, the 25 verses of Jude? Yes. Yeah, he had to write it before he died, okay? And if I remember correctly, I think they stated that this was, I think about 67 AD was when this was written, but we don't know, okay? Any other questions or comments? Yes. Yes. Sure.
It might cause us to really think seriously about where we could put off. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it, turning back from the holy commandment delivered to them.
Right.
And I think when we, after we study Jude and we read all of these warnings, this little passage here tells us where we're headed if we don't heed the warning.
Right. Yeah, and it's talking about, the, you know, people who believe in Christ but then turn away from him.
Right.
You know, a piece of paper fell out of your Bible. Jack, a piece of paper fell out of your Bible. It's sitting right there. It's on your, there you go. Didn't want you to lose that. I'm sure it's important. Okay. Next week, we will start our study on Daniel/Revelation. Why, you say? Well, because we need to understand what Daniel says and his predictions that lead into Revelation. We will be looking at videos from Mike Mazzalongo. He does a wonderful job on this, and so we got to get started right on time to play each video. I think it's 12 weeks that we will be looking at. Okay, so read Daniel, read Revelation, and be ready to look at those. And this is not a verse-by-verse study. He looks at certain verses, and then we'll skip several and go back, you know, to something else that's all important that goes along with the pre-Revelation section. And even when he gets into Revelation, it's not every verse. It's just chunks and going through the idea of it. So you need to read Daniel. You need to read Revelation so that you know everything that's going on. All right. Well, we ended up getting right to the time anyway. So thank you for being here.